Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, family. Peace and blessings. This is one half of their host team. This is Brother Maurice B. Muhammad, and I'm waiting on the other half. Today, we are doing a split. Since we had some open time on the Initiative Radio Network, well, we decided that we're going to cast live from the radio network, and we're also going to be on YouTube soon as Sister Soul gets the link up. So we're doing two things at once today. And again, this is Brother Maurice D. Muhammad. And the name of our program, I know the name of it, but it's hard for me to pronounce, called Resentimo. That ain't how you say it, but it means to revive. It means renewal, refreshing. As soon as my co-host get on the line, we can ask her to name it or tell us the name so that we can understand it, and we can repeat it. But it's a good name. But it's one of these names where you got to look at it for a while, and then you'll be able to say it properly. But while we're waiting on her to chime in, we have my baby girl in here today. And so let's say hello to Freedom. Assalamu alaikum, Freedom.
Assalamu alaikum.
How you doing, baby girl?
Good.
And so, are you ready for school tomorrow?
Yeah, but no.
What do you mean?
I want to go to school so I can wear my new stuff, and I don't want to go to school because I don't want to go to 12th grade.
Oh, you don't want to go to school. Well, you didn't pass 3rd grade, and 3rd grade was the hardest grade. So you should be sailing through all the way up till... maybe 9th grade?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So are you happy with the stuff that you, part one of your stuff that you got so far? Excellent. So Friday we got to go out and get part two, huh?
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm also happy for school because it's a half day tomorrow.
Are you serious?
Yep.
It is a half day?
Yep.
Lord Jesus. A half day. We didn't get that when we were coming up. It's time to go to school. Wow. So you got any words that you want to say before you go back up in the house?
Not really.
Excellent. Sister Pam, can you take us to 2 commercial breaks while I take my young little girl, drop her off in her house?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term at-risk youth by providing STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and entrepreneurship education through programs that encourage positive social development, increase educational opportunities, and economic security via media outlets. Our innovative TV show, Stay Focused Youth, is based on youth interviewing STEM professionals and business owners in their work environment. By becoming a youth, adult, or business member of the Just Us Youth Organization, you can receive discounted products and services from 33web.com. Receive free advertising for your business or organization through our many donation options. Sponsor a student e-portfolio that highlights academic achievement and talent, and have your logo displayed on their site as a supporter. As a sponsor, you can be interviewed on Stay Focused Youth TV, and you'll receive recognition and logo placement on our website and social media. We also provide a vehicle safety seminar and workshop, along with How to Extend Your Car Life book. If you would like to help our youth stay focused and inspired to become future leaders in the STEM and entrepreneurship field, or if you would like to purchase a How to Extend Your Car Life book, please contact the founder and president, Mr. Jonathan Smith, at 242-423-6539 at 701 639-0190 or email him at jesustv33@gmail.com. Find out how to get involved with a student ePortfolio today. Please visit our website at www.jes-us.org.
Dr. James Jones III is a graduate of The Ohio State University. He has earned graduate degrees in African American Studies and History. Dr. Jones has produced the following books: Creating Revolution as They Advance, A Narrative History of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. These writings examine the historical context that facilitated the demise of the Civil Rights Movement's patience and the ascension of a much bolder and less patient mid-60s Black Power politics. Manhood, Race, and Culture, Volumes 1 and 2, contains 66 essays that cover national events that occurred within the African-American community. Oh, Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, is an ethnographic study that follows an African-American to Africa, his ancestral homeland. Foolish Floyd, The Life and Times of an African-American, follows an individual who emanates from a rich tradition of contrarians. You can purchase the writings of Dr. Jones at Amazon.com, also available on Kindle. Dr. Jones is also our network resident doctor and can be heard every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Radio Network. Please visit his website at manhoodraceandculture.com.
All right, all right. Thank you, Sister Pam, for taking us to that quick commercial break. And the name of our program is Resurgimento. Resurgimento. That is a hard one right there, boy. I looked at the word for the first time and I say, how in the world do I pronounce that? But it is Resurgimento. I remember my daddy telling me, never buy a car that you can't pronounce the name of. They had a car back in that day called the Peugeot, and he couldn't pronounce the damn thing, but he sure enough wanted to drive it, but he ain't never drive it because he couldn't pronounce it. But, yes, so Resurgimento. Resurgimento is all about renewing. It is about renewing your mind, your spirit, and your body so that you will be able to do the things necessary you need to get done in your life. When we look at what's going on around this country, hell, around the world, we see that there are things that drain you. You know, sometimes you be drained. You know, you're dealing with life issues at home, life issues at the job, life issues at the school. Just everywhere you go, you got issues, and it's draining. And I know for me, it's like, man, sometimes I leave work, and I'd be so mentally tired. It drains my body, and I become physically tired. But you need that upliftment. You need that revival of your spirit, a revival of your mind. And that is priceless. It is priceless. And it's something that we got to have. And tonight's topic, we're going to be talking about Terry Crews, sexually assaulted. Did a black man get sexually assaulted by a white boy? Or did a nigga get sexually assaulted by the white boy? You know, there's a difference between the white boy and the nigga. There's a big difference. And a lot of people mistake that difference and think it's one and the same. And it really isn't. It is not one and the same. It is different. So we have to understand at which or what point are you talking to a nigga and what point are you talking to a black man? Because, again, they are not the same thing. Totally two different issues. Totally two different responses. And sometimes if you in a relationship with that, I'm not going to say it. I was going to say cracker woman, but I'm not going to say cracker woman. I'm going to say white woman. No, I'm not even going to say white woman. I'm going to say Caucasian woman. I think that sounds better. Are you in a relationship with that Caucasian woman? And you done lose your damn mind. In the hell you gonna let some Caucasian woman tell you if they treat you bad, just suck it up. Don't do nothing wrong. Don't do nothing wrong. The hell you mean? Don't do nothing wrong. But we gonna get on. We gonna get in. We gonna get into all of that as soon as Sister Soul come in, so we can get right into it. I'm almost at the house by now, but it is going to be, what's the word they say? Plata. Plata. Sister Soul, peace and blessings. Are you there?
I am. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Awesome.
How are you?
I'm doing good. And yourself, now that I got you right here?
I am doing well. We are live on YouTube.
Excellent, excellent. I'm actually right now searching for that link. Did you send it to me in the email?
I have added you. And I have also email. Okay. Well, see, I'm in my other account now, so I'm sending the things to you via Hangouts because I'm logged into a separate account.
Okay.
I think I can pull your email up and send you an email there.
Okay. Sister Pam, can you take us to two commercial breaks real quick while we work this technical stuff out?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term at-risk youth by providing STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and entrepreneurship education through programs that encourage positive social development, increase educational opportunities, and economic security via media outlets. Our innovative TV show, Stay Focused Youth, is based on youth interviewing STEM professionals and business owners in their work environment. By becoming a youth, adult, or business member of the Just Us Youth Organization, you can receive discounted products and services from 33web.com. Receive free advertising for your business or organization through our many donation options. Sponsor a student e-portfolio that highlights academic achievement and talent, and have your logo displayed on their site as a supporter. As a sponsor, you can be interviewed on Stay Focused Youth TV, and you'll receive recognition and logo placement on our website and social media. We also provide a vehicle safety seminar and workshop, along with How to Extend Your Car Life book. If you would like to help our youth stay focused and inspired to become future leaders in the STEM and entrepreneurship field, or if you would like to purchase a How to Extend Your Car Life book, please contact the founder and president, Mr. Jonathan Smith, at 242-423-6000. 6539 at 701-639-0190 or email him at jesustv33@gmail.com. Find out how to get involved with a student ePortfolio today. Please visit our website at www.jes-us.org.
So bear with us, guys. Don't be a little rusty until we get it.
Welcome to Pamela Palace. For every customer, you still want your treatment. You may arrive feeling ordinary, but when you leave, you're guaranteed to feel extraordinary. We take pride and honor in serving you and treating you as the queens and kings that you are at Pamela Palace. So come and purchase beautiful scarves, shades, jewelry, etc. for queens. And for kings, we have wallets, bow ties, and much more. Need a royal experience? Well, contact me at Pamela Palace, PamalahPalace on Facebook or Instagram, and also PamelaPalace@gmail.com. Thank you so much for your purchases, and please come again.
All right, peace and blessings, family, peace and blessings. Welcome back to Resurgimento, and this is our Monday night launching, and we're going up, 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 up and away, up, up and away. Sister Soul, you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right.
Okay.
Let me
do you have a link so we can get started over here on the
Let's see.
I have added you to the call, actually. So, if you go and
hear I got
that.
You.
As well as, so can I be heard? I don't know because I
yes, ma'am. We can hear you. We can hear you.
Well, I mean YouTube. Yeah, YouTube. Everyone who's listening on YouTube, can you guys hear me?
Can they hear you?
I'm waiting for a response. But probably not, if they're not. Nobody's giving me a one. I don't mute. Can you say something in the hangout? Are you speaking? I don't hear you in the hangout.
Well, I can hear you fine, but I just pulled into my driveway,
okay.
So I'm about to run into the house and turn on the computer. Then I'll know everything 100% at that point. But technically speaking, everything should be fine. Everybody should be able to hear.
Nope, they can't hear me. I have no idea why. Can y'all hear me now?
Ooh, hey, little boy.
I have no idea why I have no volume on.
Mm.
Okay. Y'all hear me now? I don't see you picking up sound at all.
I'm pulling up my computer now, so so we should be good shortly. Let's see.
I have no idea why there's audio.
Let's see.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, Hangout is not picking up any sound. I have no bars going up and down. Okay, how about now? Y'all can hear me now? I'm seeing the bars going up. I don't know. Maybe my computer is trying to go away on me.
Can they hear me on there?
No, I can hear you because I'm on the call. But I don't hear anything coming from YouTube, and I don't see any signs. Of any volume pickup. So I have to start it over again, but I think it's the computer issue. Because it's like it's fine. Or it could be a Hangout issue, I don't know. I've been having problems with it all day. I have no idea. I'm totally lost.
The Initiative Radio Network mission is the challenge facing all of us is to rise above the things that have kept us divided in the past by focusing on the agenda of creating a better future for our people, to see how all of us, with all of our varied differences, can come together and direct our energy, not at each other, but at the condition of the reality of the suffering of our people. We may use all of our skills, gifts, and talents to create a better world for ourselves, our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. It is time for us to stop thinking and acting solely on behalf of our churches, mosques,
so the only thing I can see at this point is
it. It is time for us as leaders to come together to and begin to think, plan, and act on the whole of our people. We must put an end to the mischief and the mischief maker.
However,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Now, see, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Say something.
She's not on. We have, her call has dropped.
Okay. This is not,
Okay, she's back. She's back now.
Okay. Can you say something on, because I see the little green dots on mine, but I don't even see your picture down here at the bottom.
You saw my hangout?
Yes.
Okay, I'm here.
But you're not. There's no sound coming out. I can see the little green dots on mine, but when you speak, there's no sound coming off your
right.
Your hangout.
I get what you're saying, and I see that. But you can hear me. Okay.
Yeah.
There's no.
You're on the radio.
Oh, okay. So you hear me through the radio, not through the hangout. I don't understand it because I can hear you from the hangout.
Yeah, I know. I see my little green dot jumping up when I talk from the hangout. I see that, but I don't know why yours is not.
I don't either. I understand.
And like normally, your picture would be in the little black square, but your picture is not even in there.
Right. I honestly don't either. Okay, let me take the control room. Everything seems to be set like it should be. Okay, let me try. Oh, yeah, I can. I was going to join from my phone, but I can't because I'm on the call.
Try dropping the radio program and see if you can speak on Hangout. I know when I was on it, I was doing both and mine was coming through. But try it and see if maybe that. Mm-hmm. She, I can hear you now. You gonna restart the hangout? Okay. Okay, talk now.
Are you hearing me from the radio or in my app? The control.
You're not on the radio.
Is not giving
you're not on the radio. So I'm hearing you from the hangout, evidently, because you're not on the radio. So I'm hearing you from the computer. But I don't see your talk.
Right. That's what I meant to say. You're hearing me from the hangout, but it's on my app. The one on the computer is still not working. I don't know why. Because now I just muted myself. So obviously I was not muted. I just unmuted myself. And the volume is all the way up on the computer. I don't know what to say.
That's very interesting.
It is, because I don't know what's causing it, and I don't know what to do. Unless I shut down the entire podcast and start it back over, that's the only thing out.
Now, what I've done, because I logged in from to the radio from my computer, so you don't have to call into the radio program because it's broadcasting straight from the computer, so it's picking up everything you said.
Perfect for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we can just run it and I'll stay on from my app then.
Okay.
Because if I don't have to call in, then I won't need to hang up from my app.
Okay.
We can go ahead. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for hanging in there with us, our four little viewers. I appreciate you guys. Please push the like button. And this is our first, as you can tell, podcast together, other than being on the panel other times. But this is Resurgimental every Monday night. And this is the first podcast. And we will be discussing Terry Crews. Yes, Terry Crews. So, waiting for a time of renewal, renaissance, welcome to your revival. How are you, Brother Murray?
I am doing good. And yourself there, Queen?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I wish I could get it together a little bit better over here, but eventually we're gonna get it. We're gonna be smooth sailing.
Exactly. You know, the I guess it would be normal if you didn't have some type of computer difficulty on that end.
Right, and I'm going to remedy that at some point in time by getting a new computer, because I know that's what it's boiling down to.
Mm.
So, y'all know what to do. You know, hit that GoFundMe. Just wait to donate. Help us out. Y'all know y'all want to hear me. Y'all want to see me. Game on and all that. So, I'm not turning my camera on so y'all start donating.
That's right. That is right.
Let's get on into it. Let's have this conversation here. I know we were talking about Terry Crews and his claim to be, what was that? He was gross?
Yes.
By a major producer in the game early on in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, guys, I won't be playing any YouTube clips because YouTube, they don't let me speak with that. So we're just going to have to talk about the things that we've seen, and hopefully you guys have seen them. And I can additionally add some YouTube clips later for anybody who may not have seen his interview or any news recordings about this incident. I will be sharing a couple of pictures, but other than that, we won't be playing. So how do you feel about this situation, brother?
He could have handled the situation a whole lot better than what he did. And he didn't. So I definitely have a problem with that, because as a man, as a black man, and you're going to cry and let this little white boy feel on you in front of your wife, and, you know, you suck it up for a whole year, and then when the women come out, you come out and crying and all that foolishness? I'm just not buying him. You know, he should have dealt with that dude the right way, the proper way, when it first happened. But the way he went out, I'm not feeling that. That was disrespectful to all black men that's living and dead. Terry Crews was very disrespectful.
Okay, so you're saying this was a year ago?
Yeah, this was a year ago.
I thought it was way longer than that.
No, this was a year ago. I watched the interview that he did with on ABC with another former NFL player, and he was talking about it. It happened a year ago, and, you know, he's been quiet for a year, but when he saw the women coming out, you know, he started with his little tweet, and then he came out and started telling what was happening or what happened to him. So, yeah, it was a year. This is a year.
Okay. So I'm thinking, okay, so you just
I can barely hear what you're saying. I can barely hear you.
Is this better?
Yes, a whole lot better.
That's my headphones.
Oh.
Okay, I apologize, guys. Basically, what I was saying was when he was doing that speech at the CNN, and the woman asked him specifically, you know, why didn't you, he's a big guy, why didn't you do something, why didn't you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And his response was, oh, I'm a black man. You only get one shot at success. You only get one chance to make a difference. And then he started going into people, he brought up people that he's grown up with and his family members and things like that, and he's talking about how, you know, they are doing, you know, struggling, getting killed, doing this, doing that, they get bad choices. So basically what I took from his little speech was that he wanted to push past it so that he get himself in a position of power and a better financial footing to help out his, you know, people and to be an influence to make a change. So that's what led me to believe that this happened at the beginning of his
career.
So I had no idea. So Reese's already had, I guess, the initial trying to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's been in movies, he's done all these things. His family even had a show of their own. So I'm confused at this point, even more so, as to why he would take it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, and I'm not saying he just stuck back and took it from it, but why didn't he immediately, why did he feel weak? Because regardless of what he says, he's basically saying, with his excuses that he have not taken the action, is that he did feel too weak and powerless and up for himself in a way that he probably wanted.
Mhm. Exactly. You know, and I think a lot of it has to do with A, you're married to a white woman. B, you have the mental capacity of a nigger. C, you want to be accepted into an environment so bad that whatever little manhood you got, you're willing to let it go. And what it also shows me is that I'm quite sure there were other things done to him that were disrespectful, and only thing he did was eat it up. He didn't challenge it. He didn't push back. He just accepted what was given, because I remember him saying that his wife told him, you got to remember, you're a black man in a white environment. So since you're in a white environment, you're going to be treated differently. And so you have to suck it up in order to be accepted in this environment. And so, you know, there's no way that I could see a black woman telling her man that you got to suck that shit up. I don't see that, because in my eye, how can she honestly respect you if you know that you're being treated like shit and that you don't have enough self-love that you would force them to treat you right, but you would lay down your everything so that you can get a payday? To me, that's crazy. That does not make sense. But, you know, I guess when you're married to a white woman, you'll accept those things because you're not in your normal environment. You're in an accepted environment, the environment that you wish to be in, that you're willing to lay down for, so white people can pat you on the back and say, you my nigga. Sis, you there?
I'm apologize. I was on mute. I did not even really know she was white until you told me.
Mm-hmm.
Although, if you look at her, you'll suspect it. But I remember him talking about that, and I took it two different ways. I kind of took it as what you're saying as well. But the way he broke it down, because I heard him say it in two separate interviews. And what he was saying was that she was the one, because he said that he before used to have a big temper, and he'd be the one that will go off on you, and you know he would let his anger or violence if he was in a situation such as that, then he would really come for you. And he said that she had been working with him on that, and she'd been really telling him. And this goes back to the video I did before about, women, you got to bring your man and your children home. So I get where he's coming from and where she may have been coming from to a degree, because he said that she had been talking to him and saying, look, you can't react with violence on things when you, are put in a situation. People will try to provoke you. People will try to do this and that. But you can't just, haul off and beat people down or whatever, because you're going to end up in jail or worse. So that part I understand. And he did say it was because of her and what she had been telling him that he didn't react, even though he wanted to. And he even said when he was in the car ride home with her, she was holding on to his hand and telling him she was proud of him. And he was saying that it was all he could do because he wanted to turn around and go back and really get at this dude. Part of me understands where she's coming from and what she was trying to do. She's just trying to bring her man home. Because if she was there, basically like, do what you got to do, and he beat this guy down, what are the odds? Him against this guy. He probably 9 times out of 10 be arrested, ridiculed. Our people probably wouldn't have his back as much as they need to. And the media will rip him apart. His career will probably be over, and he'll probably have legal issues. So there's a part of me that understands that, too. But, okay, let's get away from that night. After they leave, then it's time to pursue it. If you sue him, you make a noise about it, you hit the press, I don't know. That's for them to decide, but you do something. Since you chose not to fight him, which I can understand that. To a degree, because he did grab his genitals. I don't know. As a female, I'm going to be honest. I can't sit here and tell no man how to act in a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I wouldn't want my man to beat somebody down and then, okay, daddy's gone, hubby's gone, and we got, he's in jail and all this other kind of stuff. Or worse, because we know how the cops get down. But I'm not him. I'm not a dude standing here with another guy in a crowd full of people, and he's grabbing my most private parts and trying to intimidate me and emasculate me. I wouldn't want him to react violently, but I cannot pretend that I understand how he's feeling and what he wants to do as a man.
Mm-hmm.
So a part of me does feel like maybe she's been his handler in this situation and in probably his whole career, because after they left, they still stayed solid to a degree. Now, in his defense, he did say that they, told other people, like he said, Adam Sandler called him, and he did say he made a scene there at the party. He said he asked the dude, like, hey, what you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And he said he grabbed him again.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that first time he wasn't clear enough. I don't know how he wasn't. But he said he then pushed him back off of him. So he did physically and verbally let this man know this is not okay. Okay? But when he left after that, that's where I'm kind of like, okay, what did you do? But from what he's saying, he just kind of told his peers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to yield the mic on that because I have more to say.
But, the thing is this. He told Adam Sandler at the party. And Adam was more like, dude, get over it. It's cool.
Everything's all right. What are you saying? So, and his wife was right there with him when it happened. So the thing is, to me, you know, he should have punched him in his face. He didn't have to, you know, beat him to a bloody pulp, but punch him in his face, and he wouldn't have did it the second time. He'd have understood. Now, whether he'd have got arrested or not, he wouldn't, because you got witnesses that this man grabbed you personally. And then on top of that, they're not even going to call the police. They're not going to call the police. So he wouldn't have lost anything. He wouldn't have lost anything whatsoever. And you look at it now, a year later, he went down there to file a police report. He was on TV saying that, yeah, we're going to sue him. You know, we're going to press charges and we're going to sue him and we're going to get paid from it. What was the difference then? You should have punched him in his face. He would have backed off of you. And you're going to go to the police anyway. You're going to sue him anyway. So what the deal? I didn't see anything that he was losing. But to be quiet for a whole year, you know, no, man. You coming out now. Since these women coming out, because like you said, you know, I felt bad, you know, the women coming out and I'm not saying nothing and, you know, I need to say something to help them. So now he comes out. I don't trust him.
Okay, good. Now, see, that's what I wanted to hear was your interpretation of how you probably would have handled it. So now that I hear you say he could have at least punched him, because like I said, I'm not a guy. I can't figure out how to react in a situation like that as a man. So what you're saying sounds very reasonable. At least he got a right to hit him one time. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. And I don't think the guy would have started a fight with him, you know. And I think that if they did call the police, then, okay, he grabbed me first.
Exactly.
You know, he assaulted me first.
Exactly.
And then when you say about the him coming out with the other women and, you know, him trying to get a little bit more notoriety, per se, and things like that from it, I totally agree because, look, he's writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing all these speaking engagements and things like that. So I do feel like he made a choice initially to not take it public.
Mm-hmm.
And him using anything about his career as an excuse, he has said that he's been denied or they made it difficult for him in some roles since then, but he's already reached his stardom point.
Exactly.
Like, you sacrificed your manhood for that. He kept quiet all this time, and now he's coming out, so it does make it suspect to me.
Mm-hmm. Most
personally, I think Terry Crews is a buck dancing coon.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he is a court jester type of person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can tell by the way the roles that he takes on, you know, he's always a big black dude trying to make everybody laugh or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go ahead, I'm going to share my screen and show some of these pictures.
Okay. And these pictures should be very, very interesting. Because one thing is for sure, I know it was this commercial that he was in. I think an Old Spice commercial. And, I mean, I'm looking at this like, God damn, man, you can't do no better than this. You can't do something that shows a respectable image, something that shows that, you know, you are more than just a buffoon. You are more than just, you know, somebody that step and fetch it. You know, God damn, you got to have some pride, some esprit de corps about who you are and what you're about and, you know, what you represent. But you let everybody treat you like a joke, and then you wonder why you don't get no respect. I mean, that's just ain't nowhere in the world. That's very bad, very, very bad. And that's why, you know, people must understand that there's a difference between niggas and black men. Totally different. Totally different. Niggas will go for anything. Black men ain't gonna go for anything. There's a line that must not be crossed. And if it is crossed, you will be met with maximum punishment. Simple as that. Just that simple. I wonder if he would have grabbed his wife Would he have punched him then, or would he still stood down and let some man grab his wife, like Trump say, you know, he walk up to women and grab them? You know, what would have been his response to that? You know, that's something. You're going to let another man grab your woman like that? But I really want to know what he would do. Would he let his wife be that victim as well? Or would he stand up and say, nah, you ain't doing my wife like that? This coon ass would probably let his wife get abused. And it'll be all good. And he did say one more other thing in another interview. He was talking about how his dad abused his mom. And so he said when he grew up, he knew that he wasn't going to be like his dad. He wasn't going to be an abuser of women. But it's very odd that you don't even choose a black woman. What kind of message is that sending? Are you saying that, you know, a black woman is not deserving to be with a rich black man? Are you saying that, you know, to be with a white woman is to be with the best that there is, since you don't want to be with what your mom is? I mean, that's a lot. That is a lot of disrespect, all up wrapped up in his thinking. And he ain't the only black celebrity that go out and get a white woman once they make it big.
Yes, he did say that he used to be abusive.
Mm.
Yes, but he said that he decided to become a more calm person.
Mm-mm-mm. I don't trust that nigga. I don't trust that nigga. He's suspect. I swear to God, he's suspect. You know, I always wanted to know, you know, what do you think goes through a black woman's mind when her son bring home a Caucasian woman and say, you know, this is the love of my life and I'm about to marry her? What do you think that what went through his mom's mind?
Well, I don't know, because I can't speak for his mom. I don't know her ethnicity and her, you know, outlook on this type of thing. I can just only speak for myself, and I would not like it, you know. I think his wife is mixed. But I don't know what it is that led him specifically to choose a white woman, because I haven't heard him speak on that.
Mm.
So I don't know her. I don't know which parent is what, how she classifies herself, how they look at that, or anything like that.
Mm. You know, I know I heard him say that she was white, and you know, it's just the thought of why would you do that? Why would you do that? And then you bring that skunk home and expect everybody in the family to accept that. I just think it's disrespectful. I think it's very disrespectful.
Well, I guess they did accept it, because they've been together, I think, since they were teenagers, you know, before he was even a football player.
Mm.
And here, I think this is his book here.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can see this.
You haven't seen it.
So he's Time Person of the Year at the Silence Breakers. I don't know how he's classified as that, when he didn't initially call this out.
if he was so offended, outraged, and all of these things, why would it take him so long to say anything? So how does he get to be named, you know, Silence Breaker of the Year? Now look at this one. This was November of last year. He posted this on his Instagram, and this is when I stopped following him. So you're telling us that you have a problem with what this man did to you, and, you know, you want to talk about how it goes on in Hollywood and all of these things, but you come dressed like this. This, if it's not a dress, it's clearly more of a woman's attire. Would you agree?
For real.
So he making a choice to dress like this. I don't know if him playing any female roles, but I know he played like kind of gayish, you know. What was that with the Wayans brothers dressed up like a girl? He was in there and he was singing that song. And, you know, he likes to act like that for them.
Exactly. Exactly. White chicks.
Yeah. So, you know, he's happy doing his little interviews and things like that. Hanging out with the crackers, going on Dr. Phil and all of this, and boo-hooing. He's a victim all of the time. You know? But I feel like he does and will do anything to play the game, to keep his position.
Man.
And here she is. So, yeah, clearly, I mean, there's probably some, you know, of us in her, but, yeah, clearly.
Ain't no way in the world. Ain't no way in the world.
I mean, he got clown written all over him to me.
Mm-hmm.
I've always seen him like that, like, you're too big and black. Well, you know, I don't want to say, he's too big and dark, like, he's just big, bulky guy.
Right.
He's acting overly silly as if that's the only way he can be. So he just reminds me of a poor jester. I don't find sincerity in what he's doing. Now, they did say that they demoted the guy from the company, his position.
Yes, they did.
Which that could be a front.
Because
you can publicly say he's not in this position anymore. They did initially suspend him without pay, as that's what they announced. But at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure it didn't technically affect his financial standing in the company and things like that, in his power. And he's still doing movies. He's still doing, you know, this, that, and the third. So...
No, it's just, you know, it's a big old scam. That's all it is, a big old scam. Ain't real.
Now, I will say this. He mentioned a bill that he was trying to help lobby and get passed.
Right.
And let me pull this up. I pulled it up because I know with all this Me Too stuff that some people were trying to lobby and pass a bill that changes the statute of limitations for sexual assault victims in every state, because, you know, it varies from state to state.
Right.
Some states you get like 7 years, you get like 9 years, you know, there's no statute of limitations. And I have a separate opinion on that specifically. I just don't personally think, and I'll tread lightly, because I'm not a victim of rape or assault in that nature. So I don't have that personal experience to really fully speak. And I feel like anybody who hasn't been attacked in that manner should also tread lightly if they choose to speak on it, because if you do have that experience, you may be able to, you know, speak from a different perspective. But as I am now, I don't agree with there not being a statute of limitations for sexual assault victims. And I'm going to say why. Like, take for instance the Bill Cosby situation. Look at how many years ago this was. And now, when this guy is old, he has built up a legacy. And we're talking decades ago, a lot of this stuff happened. They're allowed to come back. You know, when somebody assaults you, wherever they may be in their life, whatever they accomplish, and you come back 10, 20, 30 years later, you know, they got families, children, grandchildren, and other things that, you know, don't deserve to be affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not victim bashing, victim shaming. It's not me not being having any empathy or sympathy for any victims. I'm just saying, when you're talking about sexual assault, a.k.a. rape, when it happens, it can be proven. If
mm-hmm.
you take the test, I guess, the rape kit test to prove that this person's DNA has rubbed off on your region,
mm-hmm.
whether they, you know, actually ejaculated inside of you or not. But there's physical ways that they can gather evidence to, you know, prove it.
Right.
But if you don't do any of that and you sit back because you say, I'm not ready yet, I'm hurting, or whatever the reasons people are giving, and you wait 10, 20 years later and you didn't gather the evidence, I'm going to say the same thing I said about the Mama Dia situation when I said, if the family didn't get an autopsy, they need to let it go. I'm saying the same thing here. If you didn't at least get the evidence documented,
mm-hmm.
then keep it to yourself. I even feel like even if you did get the rape kit and all that kind of stuff, and this is part of the bill that Terry Crews is trying to pass, this separate bill,
mm-hmm.
and I think they did pass it. And it's the Sexual Assault Victims Bill of Rights Act, the Sexual Assault Survivors Act, Sexual Assault Survivors Rights Act. And it pretty much states that the government will provide for them rape kits
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, won't be a financial burden. And they have to hold the rape kits in evidence for as long as the statute of limitations exists. Now, I agree with that because if we recall, this was a thing at some colleges and other places where they were getting rid of this evidence. Maybe purposely, maybe non-purposely, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they were getting rid of the rape kit evidence, and the people still, you know, was trying to pursue the case. The statute of limitations had ran out and things like that. And by them getting rid of the evidence, that was preventing any convictions from happening or any trials. So I do agree with them demanding that, you know, they be held accountable and keep the evidence, the rape kit.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that morally it's okay that if someone rapes you, you get a rape kit done, and you just can decide, I'm going to show up when I'm ready. I'm going to say something when I'm ready. 10, 20 years later, 30 years later, I think there has to be a limitation so that people, if you're going to press charges, if you're going to come out with it,
exactly.
go ahead and do it.
Exactly.
I understand it's deep, but to sit around and wait 20 years and then say, oh, now I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with that. And there's some other things in the bill, you know, that they're stipulating. But, you know, my thing is this statute of limitations issue. I just don't agree with letting people take their sweet time to come out with this stuff.
Exactly. That to me, that's not fair. And then, I mean, because even in the Bill Cosby case, what really got me, like, really angry is in the first trial, I think they let one accuser tell her story. And that was even an issue, but the judge allowed it. The second trial, they let like seven accusers get up there and tell their story. But there's no evidence that their story is truthful. But the judge allowed that shit. There was no evidence whatsoever. And that helped him get convicted on the second trial. If this stuff happened, then you present it right then and there. Yeah, you ain't presenting it right then and there, then it's a problem. It really is a problem. And that's just not, and I hate to say this, but it's not fair. There's nothing fair in that. And I know life itself is not fair. That's why I hate saying something is not fair. But it's not. You know, you have to protect women. But you don't exceed the limit, and then the man has no protection. There has to be a balance. And when you remove the balance from law, then where you got? You had a lawless environment where anything and everything go. And that's not good, because the only thing in life that makes all people equal is law. Nothing else but the law. You know, and I've said this example before. You know, you can take a book, you can take a pen, you can take a piece of paper, and you drop them all at the same time, and they all will hit the ground at the same time. And it's not because something is lighter, something is heavier, something is fat, something is skinny. All of that is irregardless. They hit the ground because you drop them in the law, and that law of gravity renders everything equal. And that is what law is supposed to do. Law is the thing that's supposed to render everything equal. And it does not happen. It does not happen here in America, and I'm quite sure it doesn't happen in other places too. But we know in America, where you have a government that is ruled by law, this is a republic, so it is ruled by law, and that law is what makes everything equal. But it's the law that doesn't do that, and that's why you have in this American republic no justice, because the thing that renders everything equal is broken. It is totally broken. So we have to have balance. We have to have good law that will actually render everything equal, because nobody is born equal. That's a lie. Nobody is born equal. You're born equally for the most part, but you're not born equal. Some people run faster. Some people look better. Some people dance better. You're not born equal. You're born equally. And that's something that we should be able to understand, because that is the reality. We are born equally. I didn't mean to go off on that tangent, but it kind of ticked me off a little bit. And we're also getting questions from our radio audience. So if you want to take some of those questions, let me know and I can read them all.
Yes. Before we do that, let me address something Mike said in the chat. He said that he may be trying to say something before they come for him. And while that could be true, I think that for one, there was no reprimanding of this guy until Terry Crews filed a suit.
Exactly.
So that's when they said they made him stand down from his position and things like that. So before that, he really wasn't making any noise about this. So I'm not sure what it could be, you know, as far as I'm coming for him to make him speak out. Unless there's, you know, more that I didn't see or hasn't been revealed.
I definitely agree. All right, we'll take one of these questions from, looks like Brian Orama. What the fuck? He is a survivor of sexual assault just like anyone else. How dare you? Are you serious? Would you have the same disgusting position if Terry Crews was white? Probably not. Well, first of all, for me, I don't carry white people water, so I don't speak on issues that white people deal with. I think as far as if the white dude grabbed another white dude in penis, that's probably normal for them in their environment. So, you know, just like the Romans, they was having sex with children, and it wasn't no big thing. The Greeks were having sex with children. It ain't no big thing. That's probably part of the way that they are. So it's probably no big thing with them. So I don't carry their water, and I don't speak up for their issues. I speak on issues that matter for us, for our people. Did you want to say anything on that one?
Well, I tend to agree with what you said. I agree with you. I don't concern myself with white victims, what happens between them and all that kind of stuff. So them asking if it was a white guy and all that kind of stuff, yeah, that doesn't concern me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lester says, can we at least agree that he's taking attention away from the issue, which is systematic oppression of